When you hear of a popular brand success like Skims, Rode, Rare Beauty, or Aloe Yoga, you may think that all just comes from having a great product. But most people don't realize that it's the business behind the business that drives that success. There's an overlooked secret that makes selling and shopping simple. And that secret is Shopify. So the secret's out. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. It's the home of the number one checkout on the planet, meaning way less carts abandoned and way more sales going. I've been using it myself for 2 years with my own brand of women's feminine clothing and lingerie, so I know what the hype is all about. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/forthegirls. You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we are calling out situationships. And a lot of you listening are probably, quote, quote, in one right now. I hate to even say that. I'll explain why. But situationships are a scam. They're a scam. They're not real. There's nothing romantic about it. There's nothing special about it. There's no commitment to it. There's no title to it. And why I say that, like, I don't like to say in one is because it gives the connotation. It sounds like saying I'm in a relationship. So when people are like, oh, I'm in a situationship, you're almost convincing yourself that you're in something, like you're in a ship. And you're not, like, you're simply not in a ship. This episode is going to be, like, really tough love, really the thing that you need to hear, certainly not the thing that you want to hear. So if you are very sensitive and very delulu, aka delusional, then you're going to hate this episode. You're not going to like this episode at all. But it is time we snap out of it. Some people really are delusional, saying I'm in a situationship. Darling, you're in a relationship or you're single. You can't be in a situationship. It's giving 2008, 2009, making your relationship status on Facebook. It's complicated. First of all, why did they even make that a relationship status? Thinking about it now, like, why were people putting it's complicated on their Facebook instead of like single, married, in a relationship? Like, people were straight up like, it's complicated with Victoria Alario. Like, what? That is so bizarre. But that's honestly how I feel with these delusional people talking about being in a situationship. They're thinking that it's complicated when it's not. It's actually really clear. It's actually really obvious. There's quite literally nothing complicated about it. You are in a relationship. You are committed. You are someone's partner and they are your partner in return, or you are not. The thing about situationships is that they are no different than what we've always known as friends with benefits or fuck buddies. It's literally a romanticized version of friends with benefits, because you can have a legitimate friend that you sleep with, like spend time with, eat with, hang out with, are in the same friend group, text a lot, flirt a lot, and you have sex and you're just not together. You just don't want to be together. You both don't want a relationship, or you just don't have feelings enough for each other, or it needs to be something really low-key, whatever it might be. Like, yeah, friends with benefits and fuck buddies has legitimately existed since the beginning of time. But then some time, you know, in the past year, maybe 2 years, I don't know, in the more recent days, this situationship term came to be as a romanticized version of he doesn't want to be with me or she doesn't want to be with me. They will not commit to me, but they enjoy my time. They love my attention. They don't like me. They don't have feelings for me. They don't want to be with me or commit to me, but they love that I'm committed to them. They love the attention that they get from me. They love knowing that when they call, I answer. They love knowing that if they text me, I come running. So to me, I think that realistically, only the person who's more invested, only the person who like has the feelings, they are the ones who call it a situationship. But the other person doesn't label it as anything. Like the person who calls you to come over, the person who hits you up when it's convenient for them, the person who has the upper hand in the relationship or whatever the fuck you want to call it, the person who has the upper hand does not call you their situationship. They don't call it anything. They consider themselves single and having options and playing the field and dating around and sleeping around and getting to know people, not committing to anyone because there's no one significant that is that special that they really want to be with, that they have an overabundance of feelings for or anything like that. But the person on the other end who, you know, says how high when you say jump, they are calling it the situationship because the label makes it feel like something. Because labels make you think that there's more to something than there is. But if you were to remove the label altogether and describe what's happening between the two of you, so take the situationship part off of it and literally just in black and white write down or describe, say out loud, whatever, the details. Ultimately, what it comes down to is this is just a guy or a girl that you're sleeping with who will not give you what you truly want and will not commit to you, so they give you an inch, but you're taking a mile. Quite frankly, I think that you're giving them too much credit. Because like I said, they're giving you this little inch. I mean, maybe it is a little inch if you know what I'm talking about. But hypothetically, metaphorically, they're giving you this little inch. And by inch, I just mean time, attention, you know, text messages. And then you are like, oh, but you know, it's complicated. I don't know, we're just seeing each other or whatever you think that it might be. Like, you really are giving that person too much credit when you even put that type of label on them. Because think about it, if you raised your standards, if you decided today that I require X, Y, and Z to have access to me, like you can't just call me or text me to come over anymore, I need to see X, Y, and Z in order to give you the green light. Like if you want to see me, then you need to take me on a date. You need to take me to dinner. If you want to call me, then it needs to be with intention, with reason, not just to call me and bullshit and waste time and ask me to come over at 11 p.m. Like you're calling me to have a conversation, to get to know me better. Like if you actually set boundaries, stuck to them, established them, and raised your standards and set requirements, not preferences, requirements, would they try to meet them? Would they be open to meeting them? Would they say, well, you know, Victoria raised her standards and I really value Victoria and I really want to be with her, so I need to give her what she wants? No. No, they wouldn't. They would say, well, then, you know, I don't want this. I don't want a relationship. If I wanted a relationship, we would have been in one already. If you're going to put some standards in the way and some boundaries in the way, then this isn't worth it for me, because I'm not looking to do that right now. I'm not looking for the commitment. I don't want a relationship, so I'm not going to meet your standards. And also, there's nothing wrong with deciding to raise your standards halfway through It's just that you can't put expectations on them to want to meet them because they've already made it clear that that's not what they're looking for. At least that's not what they're looking for with you. To be completely blunt and completely transparent, it might not even be that they don't want a relationship at all, but it's certainly that they don't want one with you, because if they did, then you would be in a relationship right now. So there's nothing wrong with you deciding to raise your standards, deciding to set boundaries. It's never too late. It's just that you can't expect them to care. I always say that we are entitled to standards, but we are not entitled to expectations. I may have a podcast episode out about this already, but putting expectations on people just ultimately sets you up for failure. It leads to constant disappointment, and it also doesn't really make sense, because when you think about it, everyone has their own set of standards, set of boundaries, set of values, set of morals, right? And no one's is right versus anyone's being wrong. There's no like good or bad per se, because it's just how people's brain works, how they think, how they feel, what they want, what they don't want, etc. So your boundaries and standards are yours and you're entitled to them. However, his boundaries and standards are his. And you guys might not be compatible in wanting the same things, in having the same beliefs. So you can't put your expectations on him or her to respect yours or to feel the same way about yours or to agree with yours or to want to meet yours or whatever, because they might be in a completely different playing field that still technically isn't wrong, because they are entitled to their own set of standards, boundaries, and all that kind of stuff. What I will say is that you need to make sure that you maintain yours, maintain your standards, maintain your boundaries. Of course, when it comes to serious, committed, healthy relationships, there's always going to be compromise. There's always going to be times where you do need to give and take a little bit. Everything is about partnership and helping each other out and being there for each other. Absolutely. However, in a case where you have standards or boundaries like, I'm not spending time with you at the house anymore, you need to take me on a proper date if you want to spend time with me, and so on and so forth, don't bend those. Because if someone is literally telling you that they will not treat you with the respect of pursuing you and taking you on an actual date, and that the only thing that you're deserving of for their time is, you know, hanging out at the house and having sex, and you're putting a boundary around having sex in these like intimate moments, then obviously, that, you know, that's a different situation. That doesn't need compromise. That's not a healthy relationship. That is somebody just wanting to get what they want from you and not being willing to see you as anything more. So you absolutely cannot lower your standards ever, especially in these cases, because what will happen is down the line, you will be very, very, very resentful toward that person because you are not compatible. So it doesn't only have to be something as simple as about like sex or taking you on a date, but it could be something like they're really dismissive of you when you are emotional or when you're upset about something or where you're expressing yourself, expressing your feelings, sharing something that's really important to you, even if it seems really minor to them. And they're just really dismissive of it. And they're really bad at communicating with you, and they just want nothing to do with the emotional capacity. Like, they don't want to hold that space for you at all. Do not accept that. Do not lower your standards around that. Because while you might say right now, maybe I am, you know, overreacting a little bit, or maybe they're right, it's really not important. Maybe I am asking for too much. Maybe this isn't, you know, something that serious. While you're thinking that now and you're letting it go in the moment, what happens in 3 months when there's something else that you want to talk about, or 6 months or 9 months or a year or the whole rest of your relationship or whatever it is, when they just constantly dismiss you and they constantly make you feel like your emotions are unimportant or just so minor and you're being so dramatic. You're never going to feel like you could talk to them. You're never going to feel like you can open up with them. You're never going to feel like you have an emotional connection with them. You're never going to feel like you can trust them. You're never going to feel secure with them. You're never going to feel safe with them. Security and safety and all these things are extremely important to progress a relationship. And if they dismiss those things and make you feel stupid and silly and you start to be manipulated into agreeing with them, and so in turn you lower your standards, down the line you will have so much resentment because you will not be on the same page. You will be wanting different things, valuing different things, and sure, they might be fine because they get what they want. They also might not be fine because then you're going to constantly be fighting over something that they honestly were already honest with you about. That's how you know I'm originally from Staten Island, where I got to put the word honestly in there. They were honestly honest with you about it. Like that just, I don't know if you guys know Eric D'Alessandro, but a few years ago he did like a stand, he's a comic from Staten Island. And a few years ago he was doing a stand-up show and he goes, a girl from Staten Island will never lie to you. Never. You will know that girls from Staten Island are always telling you the truth. Why? Because she starts every sentence like this. Honestly. Honestly, that's what she said. Honestly, that's what I did. And it was just so funny. Obviously, it's not funny while I'm saying it, but it was so funny how he said it. Staten Island girls never lie. I can tell you for a fact they never lie. Why? Because they always say honestly. But anyway, that's what I was just saying. They honestly were honest with you about it because they literally told you from the beginning that this shit is not important to them and quite frankly that they don't care about your feelings. But there are just so many different things, so many different ways that your standards come into play and people do tend to lower them for someone simply because they don't want to lose them or because they really value them and they're just like, okay, well, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe I do ask for too much, or maybe I am, you know, dramatic or too emotional or whatever it might be. Actually, you know what just came to my mind? So I have been watching Vanderpump Rules for the first time ever. I started to watch it because of this whole Scandoval situation. So I've always known about Vanderpump Rules just because they become kind of celebrities, but I don't watch any Bravo shows. Never watch The Housewives, nothing on Bravo, but I've always known like Lala, Jax, Stassi, and Brittany. And then, you know, like whatever, it, like I just never watched the show. I just know them because they are what they call them as Bravo celebrities. And so now this whole Scandoval thing happens with Tom Sandoval and Raquel, and I don't know who these people are, but I listen to The Toast and they talk about it. I see it all over Instagram. I see it all over TikTok. And so I'm like, shit, this is so juicy. I think I want to watch it. So I'm on season 4, episode 11, I believe. So for the past couple weeks, I've been watching. And Tom Sandoval is, I mean, they're all, honestly, every guy on that show is terrible. You couldn't pay me to be with Tom Sandoval, Tom Schwartz, or Jax Taylor. I mean, let's just get into this real quick. Jax Taylor is, wow, scary. Sociopathic. I mean, he's a pathological liar. He's a master manipulator. He's a man-child. He's like 33 in season 1. And somehow increasingly gets worse. I mean, we're on season 4 and he's like 35, 36. And I'm like, wow, you are still insane. Like, I actually don't understand how it's even possible. I've never seen someone lie so much, convince themselves that their lies are true. It's actually mind-blowing. Tom Sandoval, number 2, is dreadful. Dreadful. I mean, first of all, I don't care if people are gay or bi. I truly don't care. But there's no way that they're all believing that this man is 100% straight. There's no way. And if he comes out at some point, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes complete sense. Not saying that there's anything wrong with it, But the way that he is, I'm just like, there's no way. There's simply no way. And he is honestly just as bad as Jax. It is quite weird how, like, they really do frame it that, like, Jax is the main manipulator and liar. But Tom is equally the biggest gaslighter I think I've ever seen in existence. I mean, him and Kristen cheating on each other back and forth, whatever. But the fact that they're fighting over whose cheating was justified and whose cheating was unjustified and who was right and who was wrong. And, oh, but it was just this kiss. Oh, but it was just that one time. Oh, but it was years ago and you did it now. Like, what? I literally never heard of anything like that where people who both cheated on each other are actually mad at each other for doing the exact same thing. And not to mention, how does he get away with all of it? Because I just watched the whole thing with the girl from Miami. And so Tom and Ariana are dating right now. They just got together. Him and Kristen just broke up. And this girl from Miami came and is saying, like, that Tom had sex with her. Basically saying he cheated on Ariana with me. And he's literally saying, no, I didn't. And Ariana is, like, laughing along with Tom that this girl is crazy and psychotic. And, like, oh my God, why is she coming here and saying that you had sex with her? And they're, like, laughing. And she's not even taking one thing that this girl said seriously. I'm like, what? Like, what am I watching right now? The fact that this girl is literally saying your man had sex with me. And she's like, no, he didn't. Like, I'm sorry, were you there? What? Like, these girls just let him do whatever. And he gets away with whatever. And tells people his business. And then gets mad at them for telling his business to other people, but never holds himself accountable for doing the action. Like, I'm mad at you for telling so-and-so that I cheated on them. Okay, well then maybe you should not cheat on them. I don't know, just a thought. And ultimately, he's just the worst. Like, he's actually an insufferable human being. He is passionate about what? Everything. He talks about bartending and acting and singing and whatever the fuck else. Every single thing is his passion. Bruh, give it a fucking rest. I never seen such a, like, a wannabe in my life. And then the last one is Tom Schwartz, who has zero ambition. $0 to his name. Quite frankly, I don't even know how he just proposed to Katie and gave her a ring, because he was literally saying that he hasn't had a real job in like 9 years. I mean, again, never seen anything like it with these guys. They're all just the worst. And I truly think that if you told me it's life or death, and life would have to be dating one of the three guys, I really would choose death. Because I would just be, I'd rather put me out of my misery quickly instead of a slow, painful death as I spend every day of my life with one of those guys. Truthfully, I would just be dying every single day, more and more, slower and slower. Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, girls, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through too. Menstrual cycles, menopause, and even though it's a natural process, it doesn't make it any easier to go through. But the good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to any stressors, like all chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So it's perfect for women who struggle with all different life-disrupting symptoms, such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, or uncontrollable cravings, menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, or even poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or even occasional bloating and gas. So in other words, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is here to make women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They made no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today. If you know me, then you know how much I love the finer things in life, but there is nothing I love more than luxury at an affordable price. That's why I'm always talking about how much I love Quince. It's my go-to shop for luxury essentials for less. From 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from only $50 to washable silk tops and organic cotton sweaters, truly no one else compares. And by the way, I have that Mongolian cashmere sweater in 4 colors: black, brown, ivory, and camel. So needless to say, I'm obsessed, and yes, you will be too. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, so they cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us, which of course we love. Aside from the sweaters, I have so many styles from Quince, including the washable stretch silk tee and the cotton crew neck tee, which are my absolute staple pieces for dressing up or dressing down a look. Everyone's always asking about my elevated basics because no one can ever find the perfect white tee to go with jeans for a daytime look or the perfect silky tee to go with other pants for a night out, and I recommend Quince every single time. I also love to style all of the tops that I have from them with their ultra stretch point ankle pants because they're dressier and thicker than a legging, but more versatile than trousers or jeans, and they look so good tucked into boots, which is my favorite style. So give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/forthegirls for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forthegirls to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forthegirls. I was today years old when I found out that the average bottle of water contains 240,000 tiny particles of plastic, and I never moved faster in my life to make a switch in my daily routine. So I found LifeStraw, which is the only water filter dispenser that removes over 30 contaminants, including microplastics, bacteria, PFAS, and improves the taste of your tap water. I personally had no idea how contaminated bottled water can be, but I always feel so guilty constantly restocking so much plastic in my house. So I always drank tap water, but my fiance would never because, to put it bluntly, He thinks it tastes gross. Now that we've been using Life Straw, I feel so much better and guilt-free knowing I'm drinking safe water. And my fiance actually thinks the improved taste has been such a game changer that now he drinks it too. And it was seriously the easiest change I ever made. So goodbye, microplastics, bacteria, and gross tasting water. No more nasties. Use code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off of the purchase of any Life Straw home product at lifestraw.com. Offer cannot be combined with other promotions. Anyway, I just got into this whole rant about how terrible these guys are. However, the whole reason why I brought it up at all was because I think a couple episodes back, I think it was the 8th episode of season 4, is Ariana's birthday. Ariana being Tom Sandoval's girlfriend. And she is telling him, practically begging and pleading for him to not go to Vegas because it's her birthday. And she has a really hard time with her birthday because her dad passed away and her birthday was very special to her dad. And every year she just shuts down on her birthday. It's really traumatizing. And all she wants is her boyfriend. And he tells her, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving you. When it comes to us, you will always have me. But they did plan for us to go on like monster trucks and crush things with the monster trucks. And it's just gonna be a once in a lifetime experience. So I have to go to Vegas. Huh? Huh? What the motherfuck did I just listen to? That's what I said when I thought he was kidding. Because he was legitimately getting like emotional with her and teary-eyed and hugging her and rubbing her arm. And this is what I call master manipulator, gaslighter, actor. When he and Kristen went through their like breakup conversation and he was sobbing like, I'm sorry. I just knew he was full of shit and acting like he wasn't. Like, his emotional side didn't come out. He was acting. Kristen was like, finally, his emotional side came out. I was waiting for him to have this breakdown. No. Don't flatter yourself. He was not truly emotional with you. That's not what happened. He was acting. And so that's what was happening here with Ariana. He's like consoling her and rubbing her arm. And you could just, there's no depth behind those eyes. Those eyes are just soulless and empty. And he's literally telling her that he would never leave her and she will always be able to rely and depend on him. However, he would be going to Vegas during the most traumatizing time of her life because they were going to go on some monster trucks. I literally was like, bitch, there's no way. And does she stay with him? Yep. But now look, this whole Scandoval situation happened. Now granted, this whole thing that's happening right now is years later. I'm on season 4 and they've only been together at this point for like a few months, maybe a year. But in current time, they were together for 9 years. So he cheated on her after 9 years of being together, which he probably cheated on her millions of times. But the big cheating is what's happening right now, 9 years into their relationship. So this is year one. Prime example of a woman lowering her standards for a man that she's simply not compatible with and is not going to get what she wants from him. It's not sustainable. These relationships will not be sustainable. They will not sustain themselves because you settle. Because she settled for a guy who could not connect with her emotionally. He couldn't get there with her in her most trying time. He couldn't be there for her. He tells her, he uses the words that you can rely on me and depend on me and I'm not going anywhere and it's always going to be us. So the words are his way of showing her the comfort. But his actions show he actually doesn't give a fuck because what she's begging you to do is to stay. So his way of validating her and reassuring her is telling her you don't have anything to worry about. But he's doing the opposite of what she just begged him to do, which is to stay. And he's saying, I have to go to Vegas because we're going to go on these monster trucks. So she overlooked the reddest flag in the world stayed with him. And even though I don't know what happens over the next 8 years because I'm not up to it yet, I'm sure that she goes through a terrible time with him in their relationship. I mean, obviously, leading up to now, what's happening in real life is that he just cheated on her and had an affair for like 8 months with her best friend. So, but again, I don't know what the fuck these women are seeing in him. How is he getting these beautiful girls? It's so mind-blowing to me. But my point is, it actually is not shocking to me. Watching it now, watching the show, keep in mind, him and Ariana got together in the first place because he cheated on Kristen with her. So he was with Kristen for 6 years, cheated on Kristen with Ariana, with no time in between, starts dating Ariana. So there was no like breakup with Kristen, and then like trial period, single period, and then him and Ariana hit it off. No. Him and Kristen broke up, and then he completely transitioned into a relationship with Ariana, who was like living with him, the whole thing. Like they were fully into the relationship together right away. Now, the girl from Miami comes, literally is saying to their faces that she had sex with Tom, and Tom saying, no, I didn't. So Ariana is already dismissing that he probably cheated on her from the jump with this girl from Miami. I'm sure that there's more cheating along the way that we just don't know about, but cheating aside, he is showing that he is incapable of giving her the emotional space that she needs from a partner. He is showing her, despite what he's telling her, that she actually can't rely on him and depend on him. And then their relationship continues from there. And here we are now that he is in an affair with one of her best friends, who I'm pretty sure he is now in a relationship with. I'm not caught up all the way. I'm very far behind. But from what I have seen is that the girl, Raquel or Rachel, whatever her name is, that he had the affair with, literally is saying, like she said to the paparazzi, and she said on an Instagram post, like, you know, I just don't want to label us right now. Like, we don't really know what we are yet. Like, basically, in other words, playing it lightly, saying that they're in a relationship. Like, she's not saying he's my boyfriend, but she's not saying, like, we made a mistake, we fucked up, and, like, it was just an impulse. No, she's literally saying, we have feelings for each other. We love each other. We want to be together, but we're not putting a title or a label on anything right now just because it's a really hard situation. Yeah, it is a really hard situation. He literally had a 9-year girlfriend at the same time. How could you put a label and call yourself his girlfriend when he has a girlfriend? That spot is already taken. It's already spoken for. Like, so, not to say that Ariana's at fault for him cheating on her. You know, obviously, she's the victim in the situation. But she did lower her standards and she did stay with him. And what happened? He showed her how low he can go. He basically said, lower those standards a little bit more. Let's see how much further I can go. Anyway, let me conclude that rant because I'm sure not all of you even watch Vanderpump Rules. I am very new to this community, but I think it's all relevant. But staying even more relevant onto the topic, I'm going to do a Dear Victoria segment where she is romanticizing a, you know what, situationship. She's basically explaining to me the whole start to finish of the situationship, everything that you guys go through. They go out, they hang out, they hook up, they send each other pictures, they do the whole thing, he flirts with her, so on and so forth, until one day he ignored her, which this always happens, where like they initiate these things, and then get you to a point where you feel comfortable reaching out, and then you finally reach out, and then they don't answer. Like, you started this. Like, now you're ignoring me? Anyway, so he ignored her. And so she then went ahead and said to him, you know, if you just want to stop doing this, then just tell me. So she says he responded and apologized, saying that he was really busy, but he thinks it actually would be a good idea if we stopped. He admitted that the boundaries were gray and apologized, saying he wants to be friends, but we were never really friends in the first place until this all started. So I said that we can be cordial, but we're not going to be friends. And he said that that was fair and that was perfectly fine. However, she goes on to say that she's upset he ended things so abruptly and almost so coldly, like a robot or something. It also really annoys me because the way that he wrote it made it seem like I was the one who was in love with him when he was the one that initiated all the flirting, which confuses me because he didn't have to do all that. I kind of feel like I was used to boost his ego because he would always say he's insecure, but he liked knowing how much I want him. Let me just say something. We cannot flatter ourselves because they initiate the flirting. When they have the upper hand, they can do whatever they want. He knows that you liked him. Like you just said, he always would say he's insecure, but he liked knowing how much I want him. Like, these are her words. He literally said he liked knowing how much I want him. So he knew how much you want him. He knew how much wanted him. He knew how much you liked him. So of course he can initiate flirting. Of course he can initiate sending sexy photos because he knows he's going to get what he wants. When he's in the mood to flirt with you, he will, because he knows he's going to get it back. He knows he's going to get, you know, the desired outcome. If he wants sexy photos from you, he knows he can initiate this because he's going to get it back. It doesn't mean, oh, he's initiating it, so that must mean he likes me and wants to be with me. It just means that he is well aware how much you like and want him, so he's going to come to you to get exactly what you want. So, yes, I know that you're saying, like, I don't get it. I'm so confused and upset because it ended so abruptly. But he is the one who had the upper hand. So he is not the one that's as emotionally attached. Here's the thing. When someone has that upper hand and they know that they can get what they want from you, they will see how far they can go. So he could be taking you out. He could be hanging out with you. He could be sleeping over your house. You guys could be spending tons of time together. He could be so sweet to you. He could be so nice to you. But at the same time, he can also detach whenever you're ready to let it go, because he's not as emotionally invested or emotionally connected. So that their longevity with you isn't really based on how much they want to be with you. It's based on how long you allow this to go on. So you are the one who brought up potentially ending it. So yes, he can just abruptly cut it off, because realistically, he could have ended it. Oh my God, geez, sorry. I just stuttered so many times. He could have ended it at any given time. So when you're like, hey, like, what's going on? You're ignoring me. Do you just want to end this? Like, do you not want to do this? He's like, yeah, that's fine. Because he could have let it go legitimately whenever you were ready. He would have stuck around with you for a very long time and continued to do this for a very long time if you allowed it. So she goes on to then just saying, like, I can't stop thinking about him, even though I know it's over. I know I won't ever get the closure, and it's not worth me even trying to dissect if he liked me or not. But I am still thinking about him. I know he's not emotionally available, but I, you know, was emotionally invested. It also gives me a bit of anxiety to think that we stopped talking because he found another girl to hook up with. All these other things, and she's just really racking her brain around, like, how could he go so quickly? Did he find another girl? All that kind of stuff. Listen, if he did find another girl, you should see that as nothing more than there's another guy for you. The one saying that has always stuck with me from Crystal, the dating coach that I interviewed a while back, was, it's this or something better. It's this or something better. So think about with this guy, it's this or it's something better. And he has now shown you that it's not this. It's not him. He is not the one. So what does it matter if he found another girl? He's not your one. So you can't be his one. He has a one too. So if he did find another girl, what does it matter? Because he is not for you. So he's just going to keep going on and finding who's for him. And that completely opens the space for you to find something better. It's this or something better. It's this or something better. And you don't deserve this. You deserve better. You don't deserve someone who's unsure of you. Why would you even want someone who's unsure of you? Look at the situation right now. You have anxiety around it because you don't feel safe and secure with him. In this episode, I talk about feeling safe and feeling secure. I don't remember exactly the context, but I know I said it a little while back. I was saying that if you lower your standards and this and that, you're never going to feel safe and secure with someone. And that is what a relationship is all about. Feeling safe, secure, comfortable. If you're with the right person, if you're in a healthy, sustainable, legitimate relationship, you won't have feelings of anxiety around that person or around that relationship because you will feel secure in it. So if this guy has you feeling anxious and overthinking and romanticizing and all of these things, then it should just tell you right then and there, this is not a situation that you want. This is not anything that you should keep going. Because your peace is a whole lot more important than this guy's attention and this guy's time. You owe it to yourself to be at peace. And this is anything but that. Girls, trust me when I say, if somebody wants to go, let them go. I know that you're asking, how do I stop thinking about him? And I can't give you tangible things and tell you he's the worst and this and that. You might have had an amazing time with him. But for me, you want me to stop thinking about you? I just got to think about the fact that you don't want to be with me. Ew. You were fine dismissing yourself from my life. Ew. You don't see the value in staying with me. You don't want to commit to me. Ew. What am I going to sit here thinking about? Why don't you want to be with me? I'm not a loser. I know my value. I know my worth. I'm not sitting here thinking like, what did I do wrong that he doesn't want to be with me? Nothing. He's not my person. He's not for me. And I don't think that you're a loser either. So I don't think that you know, this is a long email. Obviously, I'm breaking it down, but you seem very smart and well articulated. And you just seem very aware, socially aware, self-aware. So you're a smart girl. You know what's going on. You're just doubting it a little bit. Don't dwell on the potential and the romanticizing of what coulda, shoulda, woulda been. That man doesn't want to be with you, and that man let you go. And that is all you need to know to, you know, just get over it, I guess. And that is all we have for today. Until next time, girls.